Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Right now, the next couple of weeks are going to be critical in our ability to address those surges that we're seeing in Florida, in Texas, in Arizona, and in other states. They're not the only ones that are having a difficulty. Bottom line, Mr. Chairman, it's a mixed bag. Some good and some now we have a problem with.
Dr. Anthony Fauci on the Hill testifying about coronavirus and where we're at. And you heard him specifically mention Arizona, Florida, and Texas. If you live in any of those great states, you know that the hospitalizations have shot up and the confirmed cases. That's where we're at, folks. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. We are in or nearing the middle of another week at the tail end of June. Hard to believe we are stone's throw away from 4th of July. And I have to be honest, I didn't think we'd be here. I thought it would have, I don't want to say washed through us, but I know we wouldn't have had a vaccine, but I felt like there would be more social distancing and we wouldn't have some of these hot spots that are creeping up on us. But I guess we certainly knew that that was a real possibility, because if you look at where it was heavy and where many people are listening to us in Connecticut, New Jersey, and New York, they got dinged. It was a slow rollout. People observed many, because you can never say 100%. Many observed the whole social distancing thing, and it paid off for them. And now there are people that are laissez-faire about it, or say, screw it, you're trampling on my liberties. I get not wanting to really be in the middle of this, because I sure don't want to be in the middle of it either. But if people that are smarter than I am about science and epidemiology, and they are deep into this and have studied and been in the middle of SARS and MERS and any kind of these viral spreads, I'm going to trust that they know what they're talking about, and there certainly is evidence that supports that. So I don't think it's political. It's being made political, but I don't think this has to be political. You may disagree. Flip me your thoughts, KateDelaneyRadio.com. KateDelaneyRadio.com, or you can jam on the phone line at 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. The great thing about this show is, hey, I'm open to all opinions, left of left, right of right, somewhere in between, or you just don't label yourself. 123 people have died in the U.S. from COVID-19. 740,000, thank goodness, have recovered. Nothing better than to see some video of somebody who's been on a ventilator finally getting out of the hospital to the parade of applauding doctors, nurses, and others who work on the front lines in whatever hospital they were at. I love it. Confirmed cases, 2.39 million. Worldwide, 475,000. And confirmed cases inching up, getting closer to that 10 million mark, you know, at this point. Others have tried to throw secret parties, to splash around in the pool with 50 of their closest friends, and often they are paying the price for it, even the famous people, because it doesn't matter how much money you have, a virus doesn't discriminate. Oh, what's in your wallet? I'm going to leave you alone. Novak Djokovic found that out, famous tennis player, one of the top five in the world. You might not have heard of him. You might have. Incredibly talented player, sick of not competing, formed sort of a little mini tour, if you will, exhibition. And that exhibition went off the tracks when too many of them tested positive, including Novak Djokovic himself, for COVID-19. They were not doing the mask thing and the social distancing and are paying the price. So we see it, like I said, again, sadly, again and again and again and again, if there was just a way around it. And I understand. More fallout from John Bolton's book. He was on ABC in an interview that went an hour on Sunday with Martha Raddatz, who got the interview with Bolton, and 6 million people tuned in to hear what Bolton had to say about the president and different parts of his book. And she pressed him on a couple of things. And the thing that keeps coming up to me is, if you thought you could nail the president, he should have been impeached, why didn't you testify? Well, because I want to testify in the Senate, which doesn't really wash with me, because if it was so burning inside, then you would do the House thing. So he did a little two-stepping there. But John Bolton's, you know, again, chief of staff from his days in the State Department, because that's where Bolton was, talked to Newsmax TV and said he was terribly disappointed in his former boss, calling the book about his time as National Security Advisor a data dump of confidential conversations, particularly with the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. Mike Pompeo, not happy about the book, saying the similar thing, that some of it was exaggerated and they were personal, private conversations that were thrown into the book. And, of course, Bolton got the obligatory advance that you would get for a book like this and got a couple of $1 million for it. Now, does it make a dent in sales and how many people will pick it up? Who knows? One thing we do know, whether Bolton is getting bashed from the left or the right, because he took hits from both sides and then had some people that upheld what he said. All you have to do is go to social media and you get a glance at what people were thinking. One thing we do know, according to this study that I was reading early this morning, 80% of the coronavirus cases went undetected in March. Not a surprise. So you got to think about this. 8.7 million Americans, maybe somebody you know, maybe yourself, got it in March, but you didn't know it. This is some of this new info from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. They found that the people who visited doctors or clinics with those, again, flu-like symptoms peaked in March. Only 100,000 cases were officially reported during that time period because testing was pretty sparse. And the U.S. still reported only 2.3 million cases heading into the beginning of this week. But the actual number, according to the calculations of the researchers, would be closer to 8.7 million if all infected people who went for medical care during the March peak period were tested and identified. I mean, it was tricky, right? So influenza-like illness. And that's where the conversation started to flow about, wow, what is this? And then pneumonia, the most deadly thing people were getting, and the flu-like scenario, the worry over that, and the people that obviously were hospitalized. But that is a very big number. 8.7 million people not getting the right diagnosis and having no idea that they had it. Wow. Amazing. Amazingly sad, really. The president in Arizona praised the border wall and went after the protesters for their lawlessness. What's that all about? All part of We Can Count coming up moments from now.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial. antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around a dollar a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than two decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM. About numbers all the time on this show. Some of them will wow you and take your breath away because they're so horrible. Others will perk you up because they're so positive. The president went to Arizona and Tuesday to prevent, as he said, the left-wing mob from pushing the United States into chaos. That's what he called it. And his first rally, of course, was Saturday in Tulsa. Less supporters than expected, and some of the team, his advance team, getting COVID-19, and then a couple of others who were there during it also testing positive for the coronavirus. But one of the things he said is he pointed to protesters who tried to pull down a statue of Andrew Jackson near the White House on Monday night, and autonomous zone set up by protesters in Seattle as reasons to keep him in office rather than electing Democrat Joe Biden. He said it's not the behavior of a peaceful political movement. It's the behavior of total dictators and people who don't love our country. So at Arizona Tuesday, he said that those protesting against racial injustice and police brutality hate our history. They hate our values. They hate everything we prize as Americans. We don't bow down to left-wing bullies. Remember, a campaign pledge was to build a wall, and that really helped the president to the White House in 2016. It was his third trip to Arizona, which has an increase of more than 3,500 new cases of coronavirus infections. On Tuesday, they saw that number. And they also had record hospitalizations, record patients in intensive care, record number of people on ventilators. The president and his advisors have largely dismissed the concerns about holding campaign events as the coronavirus is spreading in some parts of the United States. So that will continue. There were certainly people there, but it wasn't in the giant arena, and it wasn't touted as something that was going to be huge. But there were thousands of people. So it's interesting. He showed a photo of the border wall. When he was speaking at a roundtable briefing on border security at the United States Border Patrol Yuma station in Yuma, Arizona. And, you know, that is true. That's the wall is the thing that he talked about on the road to the White House and how it was going to be set up and what was going to happen and, you know, all of that. So, Arizona is a place where he's been back many, many times, and it is a friendly place, despite the fact that for the president, his reelection, despite the fact that the viruses have ticked up, the numbers have ticked up, I guess, is the thing. So a lot of young Americans at the Arizona rally, you could see them with hats on, etc., and it was a different kind of crowd, I think, than what was at, in a sense, than what was at Tulsa. It's interesting, too, you know, you look at politics and you look at Biden and the Democrats, and the big thing the Democrats, the card they keep holding is who's going to be the woman who's on the ticket, who's going to be the vice president. So far, that person, of course, has not been named. There's lots and lots and lots of speculation. And there are lots of polls that are going on that, of course, pit Biden against the president, and then looking at the numbers in some polls, he's had a little more than a 10-point lead. But it depends on where the poll is. I mean, I say this all the time, being a poll princess, which means I like to see the numbers. It makes sense. And, of course, anybody looking to be reelected is going to look at numbers because that's what you have to do. And some of the numbers aren't good. Some of the numbers are just kind of, I call them a push. I would say some of the numbers are a push. But we're almost into July, and now it gets deeper into the nitty-gritty of the big push for Trump to retain the White House and for Joe Biden to try to overtake it. Obama raised $7.6 million for Joe Biden's campaign. So initially, Obama wasn't around. Now, finally, he has been around. And the former president warned Democrats about being complacent or smug about the presidential race at a grassroots fundraiser for Joe Biden on Tuesday, calling on people to learn the lessons from 2016 and not take the election for granted. And Biden's campaign, by the way, committed to 3 debates. What will these debates look like between Donald Trump, the current president, and Joe Biden? The president's team called the debates more distraction. So will they agree to it? Well, you know what? I can't imagine there wouldn't be any debates, but because of the pandemic and the push for voting and et cetera, I think they'll have them, but it's a question of how many will they have. And certainly once football goes up, no fans or not, it's the viewers are going to be there for football, jonesing to get some action, you know, to watch sports. And football cuts all the way across, so they're not going to want to compete with football, which makes sense. But those debates, to me, the first debate is scheduled for the University of Notre Dame, September 29th. The second at the Performing Arts Center in Miami, and third at Belmont University in Nashville. So one is that one is October 22nd. The one before it is October 15th, by the way. Remember, there was the threat that the president wouldn't take part in the debates because the debate commission were hostile to the president, according to his campaign manager, and would select unfriendly moderators. So he wasn't going to jump on that. He wasn't going to go for that happening. I've talked about JCPenney's before, maybe because there's one not too far away from me, and the people are so nice and really need their jobs. But 13 more JCPenney store closings have been revealed. They're continuing the bankruptcy store closures. And, you know, JCPenney's was already taking a hit anyway, and this just pushes them further down because of the pandemic. And the amounts and the places are kind of all over the map, although Michigan has a lot, and a lot of Michigan stores are on that list that are being, you know, that are being shut down. Numbers, numbers, numbers. How about this? So the stem cell companies are trying to cash in on COVID-19, and how are they doing that? Well, stem cells can be administered intravenously and through inhalation through a nebulizer to treat lung damage caused by COVID-19 and other lung conditions. So there is a startup company in San Diego that tried to sell a big batch of hope, I guess, to COVID-19 folks. They supported a claim with a short video saying the treatment had succeeded with 73 coronavirus patients in the United Arab Emirates. And for those interested in learning how to get better treatments than those foreign therapies, they had a number. They had a number that you could call. And I know you're going to see more of those kinds of traps, if you will, because of where we're at and what happens in a second wave and how do we come out of the first wave. And that's what Anthony Fauci was doing on the Hill. He was talking about numbers. He was talking about expectations of this virus and how well things have worked and how well they have not worked. It was a little of this and a little of that. He testified before the House Energy and Commerce folks. And pretty much, just spelled it out about the response, about states working to reopen their economies, the spike in the cases. It was well done. And I think nobody wants to see the states open faster than Fauci, honestly, but safely, because he knows how deadly it can be. Meet you on the flip side.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News, I'm Kenneth Burns. The investigation into a possible hate crime at a NASCAR event in Alabama is complete. USA's Tim Berg with the findings.
The FBI and Justice Department have announced they found no federal crime was committed after a noose was found in the stall of NASCAR driver Bubba Wallace at Talladega Super Speedway in Alabama. The FBI statement saying the FBI has completed their investigation at Talladega Super Speedway and determined that Bubba Wallace was not the target of a hate crime. They're also saying that the garage door pull rope fashioned like a noose had been in that specific stall since 2019.
Pubs, restaurants, hotels, and hairdressers in England can open next month. That's when social distancing rules will be eased. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson said people should maintain their distance, though, when possible. The government's chief medical advisor said the easing of rules represented a reasonable balance of risk. This is USA Radio News. There will be a baseball season in 2020. Major League Baseball players have worked out the details for a 60-game season that will start mid-July. The last hurdle around safety and health protocols was cleared Tuesday night. Players will report for training July 1st. Also happening this year, Macy's 4th of July fireworks. However,
it will not be like the past where there's one big giant show. We do not want a lot of people out watching. There's not going to be a single focal point. In fact, we're only going to let out information about specific points very close to the actual moment when these shows happen. It's going to be a series of shows, only 5 minutes each.
New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says each of the city's five boroughs will have their own fireworks show. The finale will happen on Independence Day. Nationally televised, of course. The numbers from Wall Street looked good on Tuesday. The Dow finished up 131 points. The Nasdaq gained 75. The S&P 500 up nearly 13.5. You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Yard shooting. My mother worked for the Navy in Philadelphia, and when what unfolded not too far from Philly, you know, outside of the nation's capital, everybody went into sort of a silent prayer and panic mode and everything else. Imagine living through that. So Laurel Myers joins us. She's written a book called Healing After the Navy Yard Shooting, One Survivor's Story of Her Struggle to Return to a Normal Life. And she is the subject of our author's corner. Laurel, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So take us back to that moment. You were there, and there was so much nonsense that came out afterwards and misinformation and, oh, what he had done and et cetera. But you were there. You were in the middle of that.
I was. I was on the same floor, just a row of offices between his area and my area, and I guess you call it stupidly, but I automatically picked up the phone and dialed 911, so I was on the phone with 911 the whole time.
And one of the things that you learned, I'm jumping in here for a second, one of the things you learned is that you had people around you that were, like, what do you think, your first instincts? You're on the phone with 911. How are you keeping quiet, and what are you doing to hide or keep yourself covered?
Oh, I had a cubicle with some vertical files in the back of it, and I ducked down in between the two vertical files and pulled my nice black office chair in front of me and my black briefcase piled in front of that in the bottom of the chair. So I was in the shadows, but I had the phone lying down with me, and the office phone, and the whole time I was talking to the operator, I made sure that I couldn't hear him nearby, hear him or feel him. And the one time that he did come by, you could feel him there because the building was originally built for building the 16-inch guns that were to go on battleships. And the cranes were still there, the cranes that held the guns that were being built. And all they did was put in suspended floors. So we had five floors of that were suspended from in the building. And I was on the fourth floor where this all started. And you could feel the footfalls of people walking by. So knowing that there was no one else nearby and feeling the footfalls of this heavy person walking behind me, I told the operator that I was not going to talk to her and because I feared that he would hear my voice. And I didn't want her to talk to me because I feared that he would hear her voice. Mm-hmm. And he stood behind me in the cubicle behind me and walked and paced back and forth and stood. And then you could feel when he changed his weight from one foot to the other. And I was so afraid that he would hear me, or I was afraid to breathe even, because he would hear me. And the walls of the cubicle are just material. They're no protection. And if he heard me, he would shoot through the wall, and that would be it for me. So I put the phone down, and I put it down facing the floor so that she, if she did talk, it would be to the floor, not to me. And the entire time he was there, I just did not speak and almost did not breathe. And then as I felt him walking away, I finally had the nerve to pick up the phone again and let her know that we could talk again. That is the closest he got to me.
Wow. Wow. So you come out of this, and as I said, the title of your book, Healing After the Navy Yard Shooting, One Survivor's Story of Her Struggle to Return to a Normal Life. How do you return to a normal life after that?
Still working on it.
Wow.
I was seeing a couple of psychologists for a while there, and a psychiatrist and a therapist. And, one by one, we dropped them off, and I got down to one psychiatrist and one psychologist for 5 years. And it came to the point where both the psychiatrist and psychologist wanted me to go back, when we opened the building again, go back into the fourth floor where he had gone, and the now new remembrance area, and in our old cubicle area. So I made use of the chaplain that they had there, and I talked to him about it. And at first I felt the God had abandoned me. And I told the chaplain this, and figuring he would, chastise me for this. And he said, no, the chaplain was Jewish, and he had his culture had gone through the Holocaust. And I said, how do you do this? And he said, he gets up every day and he prays. And I said, I can't do that. And he said, it won't happen. And so he assigned me to go through one of those areas, and I said, I can't do that unless I can talk to you afterwards. And he said, no problem. Call me when you're going to do it, and I'll set time aside. So we did this, and he assigned me to read two books by two different people who had lived through the Holocaust and had written about the same feelings I was going through. And once I had read them, I thought, well, I hadn't gone through the Holocaust. I'd gone through a shooting. I hadn't lived through years of being treated the way those victims were treated. And so started comparing my feelings against their feelings. And the chaplain said, okay, I think you need to write a book. And so he assigned me to write a book. He said, I said, okay. And as I went through the different areas, I began to feel, well, God didn't abandon me. He abandoned us, all of us, those who died, those who were affected, just the whole building. And then I began to find myself saying their prayers, just as two writers of those books had found themselves saying prayers. And over a period of years, I started going back to church. My husband asked me to go to church with him, and I said, oh, okay. But I didn't sing. I didn't even listen. I just went with him because he asked. And slowly but surely, I started participating again in church. And now I find that I am doing more praying. I am doing more of the singing in church. It just took a long time to work into this, amazingly long time to work into this. And now I just found that God lets things happen and lets us work it out.
Wow, what a powerful story, and what happened there, and what he taught you, what the rabbi taught you. What do you hope people learn from reading your book? What do you hope they take away from it?
What happens to you happens for a reason that's unknown to us, and it's up to us to figure out what was the intent and what we're supposed to take away from it, and to learn from it, and to move on. And eventually, it may not seem like it right now, it's supposed to make us a more powerful person, a stronger person. And this is the part, I think, where I'm at now. It's I'm working on the being stronger part. Now, this shooting happened in 2013. This is 2020. And I'm finally getting to the part where I'm working on the being stronger. So it does take a long time.
In writing the book, as the rabbi told you, did it feel cathartic to you? Was it good to release all of that?
It was. It was good to compare. It felt very strange to have the same feeling that these two other people had, who had been through a lot more than me. At first I didn't feel like I deserved to have those feelings, because I didn't go through this huge, long, life-changing event that they went through. They went through a shooting. I had friends killed, and I still had that same feeling. I couldn't reconcile that, and I kept asking why, and that question didn't get answered. So I think it was the point of God lets you figure out why in your healing.
That's very powerful. And the book is powerful. And again, you can pick it up on Amazon or any place where great books are sold. Healing After the Navy Yard Shooting, One Survivor's Story of Her Struggle to Return to a Normal Life. Laurel Myers, thanks so much for sharing your story with us.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thank you.
under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time, even after the lockdown is over, why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
This is a pandemic survival alert and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meat packing plants are closing, mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to survivalseedbank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Wow, what a great off-air conversation I had with Ann Davy Kuman. She's the writer for this book called Beyond Barriers. And I was just blown away by the significance of her husband and what he's done that has actually changed all of our lives. Wait till you hear that story. And all the places that she's been, it made me want to get back on the road and, first of all, go spend time in Alaska. Already I'm lobbying the hubs for a trip to Alaska after I found out that she spent 13 weeks in Alaska. Anne, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. Really enjoyed our discussion the other day.
I did, too. So tell everybody what you told me. What made you decide to write this book, Beyond Barriers?
Well, my husband, David Davy, had done so much that we decided we really ought to put it down because it was kind of a legacy for our children and grandchildren. So we really wrote it for them. And then when people heard that we had, they said, hey, we want to buy it. And then we said, it's not a book yet. And so they asked us to do it. And that's what happened.
Well, one of the things about your husband is that he pushed hard for the Disabilities Act to get that through Congress. Tell us his story and why that was so important to him.
Well, Dave had polio when he was 12, and he was in the hospital for a year. He was in an iron lung for several months and then rehab. And when he was lying there, he knew he was never going to be able to walk again. And all the things that went through his mind went through everybody's mind probably. But when he got out, he went to college, and his roommate happened to be had polio as well. So the two of them talked about it, and it just seemed like to them that God was telling them, you two can do something about this. And that they got started, and his friend said, Dick said, I think I should take care of the transportation side of it. And so he did. He went on to build a wonderful show. But Dave, when he had then, wrote rehab programs. Then he worked with city, national people to get all of the different things and rehab available for people with disabilities. He had a wonderful faith, and when he talked with different ones, he would go on to the next person, and then finally he got to Senator Bob Dole. And when Bob had him, he was working on the National Barrier Free Architectural and Transportation Bill with Senator Dole to help develop standards for the Americans with Disability Act, which passed in 1990. Dave was the actual liaison with all of the Goodwills and most of the rehab facilities here in Michigan to get that through Congress.
Wow, and what an impact on so many people's lives, and that's what I was alluding to when we first jumped on, and what a legacy for those grandchildren, your family, etc. And he was actually in the Goodwill Hall of Fame, and because of what he did, you really went all over the world. How many countries have you been to, and how many states have you been to?
I've been to, I believe it's 58 states. I've been to all the... not states, but I've been to 49 states and everything except North Dakota. And I've been in about 50 countries and a lot of islands. Dave liked to sail, so I know he liked going through the Panama Canal. Before we got married, I said to him, what three things would you like to do, Dave, besides working on getting everything through Congress? But he said, I'd like to go to Hawaii, Alaska, and through the Panama Canal. And when we went through the Panama Canal, we had some grape juice and we toasted it and we said, here, you know, you've seen it all. So,
boy, and you have seen it all. And you talk about so much in the book. Again, it's called Beyond Barriers, and Ann Davy Kumas, we're speaking with the author of the book, and it's inspirational, and it's about your life and the things that you got to do, etc. And we talked about the push to make a difference in others' lives. And Alaska, you went to Alaska for, this is crazy, 13 weeks. What was it like spending that much time in Alaska?
You know, it was wonderful. And what was really great was that state was probably the first one that ever became totally barrier-free. And we took helicopter rides. We went on cruises. We did everything. It was spectacular. And the wonderful thing is, everywhere we went, we met people who had different handicaps. Dave was able to tell them where to go, what to do. When we got back, Dave made lots of phone calls for a lot of people. We had a lot of people up there that realized that we were Christians. I'm a Christian storyteller, and I got to do the Witness of the Innkeeper in I think about 12 churches up there. But it was just spectacular because Dave is always looking for ways that we could help other people. And we had such an opportunity up there. But when we came back, Dave still had 1 year at Goodwill before he retired. And in 1 year, he had so many opportunities to start new programs, to get everything ready so that when he retired, the new person was able to take over and to continue the program. And we had programs with the high school, programs with the college, programs with every vocational rehabilitation, blind services, and there were just every time we turned around, there was an opportunity. He did an awful lot of talking, speaking. He was on different committees. He's probably the only Goodwill exec that has served. He served two terms with the Commission on Accreditation of Rehabilitation Facilities. He was vice chair in one of his terms. He got to help rewrite their bylaws. And I just, when I went, the book is really hoping that people will read it, be motivated by this, the different people that we were able to help, and to understand that life is good. And so whatever whatever happens to you, there is another answer. And Goodwill, all of the other rehabilitation facilities now are trying to help everybody that has any disability. And that's what we're really hoping, that you read the book and you say, wow, that man had a lot of fun. He had a terrific sense of humor. He enjoyed life. He really made a difference in the world. We were really blessed because my niece had her own television show in Europe at the time. And so when we would tell her what Dave was doing, she would tell it in Europe. And Dave got calls from Europe all the time. Could we come over? And we had people here and from different countries who came over to learn what Dave had done and what they could go back to Europe and do.
Wow. And you said it. There's something about having a great life, but something about giving, and what you actually get back. And I think a lot of times people don't realize that, and you got back as much as you put out, right?
Oh, you get back more. It's just, yeah. I mean, when you look at it and you see people, like even now, all these years later, 20-some years later, people come up to me at the grocery store and say, aren't you David Davies' wife? And I said, yes, and they ask about him. But they tell me the story about when we came into Goodwill, I didn't want to waste my time at a place like that. I wanted to do something. Then Dave came up to me and talked to me. And by the time I left Goodwill, I was like, I had a wonderful job. And this one woman was just telling me, she just retired from, I think it was 30 years with an attorney here in town. Before that time, she had had, I think, two illegitimate children when she was 17 years old when she came into the program and lifted herself up through the through her knowledge and her training and the fact that she knew that she was worthwhile. She had talent. She had abilities. And she still has the two children, but she is happily married, and she is just retiring from an attorney's office and has had a terrific job. But I don't know how many people have come up to us and told us about what their life, how it turned around, and how they now are doing volunteer work. I did do a lot of volunteer work for the Gospel Mission, and I met people down there that were volunteering because they had been helped either there or at Goodwill, and their whole life changes because when you want to help people, it's just such a blessing to you. Like you say, it comes around, and it really, when it comes around, you get double the blessing.
I agree. Yeah. Wow. It's just such a, again, the name couldn't be better, Beyond Barriers. This goes beyond leaving a legacy for grandchildren and people that knew Dave, and what an exciting life, and the adventures are really, really thrilling, and the things that happened and the difference that you made. Ann, thanks so much for joining us on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Kate, for having me. I appreciate it.
And we thank everybody for listening to this version of the show as well. Stay safe, and remember, we're all in this together, everyone. Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.